So, let's go back to Psukim, okay? Let's go to Chavtet. I think we were up to Lamed, but let's go back to Chavtet. So last week we saw, that Daniel has his Yosef moment,
right?
He comes in to interpret the dream, to save the lives of all the wise men. And as we saw, right, this is an educational moment to teach Nebuchadnezzar that there is a God, similar to Paro.
Right.
Now, Rav Meidan notes that it's particularly important to teach Yirmiyahu, teach that Nebuchadnezzar because of what it says in Yirmiyahu.
Uh-huh.
Because in Yirmiyahu, right?
Spoilers.
Right? What does Hashem say about Nebuchadnezzar?
He's going to be killed.
No, he's going to be the shliach of God.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar...
Right?
Well, no, that's what's
that, right? But Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know that. Meaning, Hashem has actually essentially appointed him as the king of the world.
Yeah, but,
right?
also according to Divrei Yamim, Paranecho is also a shliach of God.
Yes.
Well, there
many
are,
people are. Right?
So but, anyone who plays a historical role is...
Oh, correct. But Nebuchadnezzar is appointed by God, essentially, to be this king of the world. So he really is that powerful, right? And God is really behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't know that, right? This is something that the Jews are told. And therefore, it's important for him to be made aware of the fact that he is not God, right?
Right.
Okay. So here in Chavtet, Daniel turns to him and he says, "Ant Malka, Rayonecha Mishkavach Sliku, Madi Leve Acharai Dinogle Razaya Odach Madi Lahave." God is telling you what is going to happen. Now, Rabbi Dan also suggests here that the reason that Hashem doesn't Perek Bet Pasuk, right? Perek Chavtet. Is that why doesn't he just tell Nebuchadnezzar? And his argument is simply that, you know, Nevuah of any level just does not go through someone like Nebuchadnezzar, even if he has to tell him something.
Well, isn't this sort of like a prophetic dream?
So that's the question. So we noted that even for Daniel, it's a machloket. Chazal think Daniel is not a Navi.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
They think he's a lower level. Ruach HaKodesh inspired person, so Kavachomer.
Sure.
So dream interpretation in Chazal is not straight out Nevuah. It's a lower level of divine inspiration. So Kavachomer, just simply having the dream, which is the Chomer for Daniel to work on, is not. Right?
What's the difference in the Rambam saying that, all...
Again, it's not really clear what it is. Meaning, clearly he has some sort of divine inspiration.
Here, take this.
Okay.
Daniel's at the way end.
So here he reiterates, and he says to him, Va'ana, I don't know this because I'm wiser than everybody. And that's why the secret is... What?
It's not in here.
Oh, that's the wrong book? That would do it. That's not your fault. It's just wrong one. It says, not from me. Right, I'll tell you what you dreamt. I'll tell you its interpretation. Ant Malka. This is what we're up to. Ant Malka. Chazei haveit va'aleilu tzlaim chad sagit salma dechein rav v'zivei yatir ko'eim lekavloch v'revei dechil. Says, O king, you saw a giant statue. A giant statue, right? Tzlaim chad sagi. Right? A huge statue. Right? Hello.
Oh.
He says, "Dechein Rav." It was big, right? Vizivei Yatir. It was shiny.
Yeah, bright.
Yeah, shiny. Right? Ziv means it's shine. Yatir was like a lot. Ka'im lekavlach was standing in front of you. Veravei Dechel. It was awesome in the scary sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right, awe-inspiring. Right, it was overwhelming. Right, overwhelming. Hutsalma roshei didahav tavchado idrohi dichsaf ma'oi diachasei dinachash. Well,
he's trying to borrow my headphones, but he's not sure how they work.
So he said, "Its head is gold.
Yes.
Its arms silver, and its thighs were copper, or bronze."
Uh-huh. Wait, what is it, a statue of again?
What?
What is it, a statue of again?
A person.
Person, yeah.
Well, we didn't
Shakohi di farzel, and then like its legs, bruised the bottom of its leg, right? Often in Tanakh, and it's not clear. There are halachic implications to this, right? In modern Hebrew, shok is the upper leg, is the thigh. Mm. There's good reason to believe that shok is the lower leg,
really?
Which would come out with a lot of chumrah, because that would mean that you have to cover the lower, right? That's an erva, right? Because shok being sherva. At least in this pasuk, it's clear that the yerech, right, is the right, the upper leg here is bronze, and it sounds like the lower legs are iron.
Hmm. So should we follow that as a chumrah?
So many of the poskim assume that shok is the upper leg. Right, Willig assumes that shok is the lower leg, but it's among the other ervot that are subjective, right, that depend on society. And therefore, even though it's the lower leg, because
it's always been interpreted as the higher leg.
Yeah,
but it's much more. Meaning it's a derabanan thing. Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shokohi di farzel, raglohi minhon di farzel, uminhon di chasaf. And he says, right, and after that, right, it is. Right after the barzel, after the iron, is clay. So there's a few very important things to note here. So as we'll see in a moment, this is going to be interpreted as a political thing, right? Different kingdoms. This image, these particular images, are not unique to Daniel. It was actually a common ancient trope that different kingdoms would be defined by these metals, right? If you
like these same kingdoms, or
no. Lots of other kingdoms. The notion of four kingdoms defined by this. So, how well do you know Greek?
It's like city states.
No, like Greek mythology.
Solidly.
Oh, good. So, how well do you know Hesoid? 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 However you pronounce it.
Right.
I don't.
Not well.
What?
Not don't. Well.
Okay, I don't actually know how to pronounce that. Right. Hesiod. So Hesiod has a text, the Five Ages of Man.
Right.
Right. And the Five Ages of Man are the gold. Right. The first era of man is gold. These are the men who live in the time of the Titans, in the time of Cronus.
Right.
It's the golden age of humanity. People live forever, things like that. You know, rebellion, right? Cronus eats his children, Zeus kills his father, v'chule, right? The world enters the second less perfect realm, and that is the Silver Age. Silver Age, also pretty good, right? Zeus is in charge. People have to work, but you don't have to grow up until you're 100, so you get 100 years to play. Blah, blah, blah. Nice. They're not so good. This is the silver. Uh-huh. Then we go to the third age of bronze, when Zeus creates men from ash trees. Then he has the age of heroes, which is not found in other Greek versions. And then the fifth is the iron age. Mm. And otherwise, it's just gold, silver, bronze. But this is like a trope. The different kingdoms, different eras of people and power are represented by these four metals.
And this was before or after the Greek? Daniel is after that.
So how do you pronounce it?
Hesiod.
Whatever. So Hesiod himself is borrowing from an earlier.
Yeah.
Like this is in Mesopotamia, right? That they had similar dreams. This is basically an old trope. Meaning this dream, which by the way doesn't really matter. Meaning right, it makes sense, right? If you're going to have an image that you're going to show Nebuchadnezzar, it's one that resonates, right? You're about to show him political. This is just an image.
Talking in his language.
Yeah. Okay, so that is, but so this is what he sees. And chazei havoit adi hit gezeret even di lovi dayin umichat letzalma araglohi di farzla vechasba vehadeket himon. And then there's a surprise. What's the surprise? Out of nowhere, what happens? Darius? A rock! Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to follow the...
There's Pazuk Lama Dalet. Yeah. Right? So what happens?
Yeah, a stone,
right?
Like, got hewn out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, not by hand. So
right, it wasn't in anybody's hands. Right, a floating rock, right, comes, and what does it do? Crushes, right, the tselem. Right, crushes the tselem.
Well, it says it crushes the feet.
Sorry, it crushes the feet, right, of which is the chaspa, right, the clay feet, right? And then what happens?
The next pasuk.
No, what happens, right? So it.
Oh, everything falls
apart. Right, it falls apart, collapses, right? Be'edayin daku kachada parzul chaspa nechasha kaspa dehava v'avei keor min idre kayit unisahim on rucha v'chol adar lo hitrach he shtekach lehon v'avda di mechat letzalma avit letur rav umalait kol ara. So then, as if this wasn't weird enough, right? What happens? Right? What happens?
That the all the materials get crushed. They become like chaff in the wind.
Good. And what happens to the rock?
The rock
becomes a mountain.
Yeah.
It becomes a mountain. Right? It becomes a mountain. Now, this is, by the way, the image that is not found in the earlier sources. Right? This is like unique. Right? This is the four. By the way, now which kingdoms are these? So the traditional midrashic view is that it's Babel, and after Babel is Persia, and after Persia the Greeks, after the Greeks the Romans.
Okay.
Right? In some versions, specifically Rishonim, who lived in the Sephardi places, it's Rome and Yishmael.
Right.
Weird. Right?
Rome and Yishmael?
Yes, because they have to figure out, oh my God, right, Yishmael has been in power for hundreds of years. Rome and Yishmael, sure. Rav Meidan suggests that maybe the real pshat is that these are, that it never gets as far as Rome, that this is all, that it's just Alexander, and then the second half of Alex, like, within Alexander, this is all much more localized prophecy within, basically, the immediate future to solve that problem. But the traditional view, he notes, is not that way, is that this is a vision about all of history rather than a localized vision.
Yeah.
Now, in the traditional versions, it's not just, like, generic, right? Like, the Greek is specifically, right, Alexander the Great, right? Alexander Mogdon.
But if you say, like, Rome is the Western world, like, that's still...
Right, so that's really where they go, right? Rome plus Islam, basically everything post...
Yeah, that's hard,
basically, well, the alternative is that four is just like a number, right? Four is like a number that we... No, like, four is just a number... Four was a what's it called number? That's not the word. It was an archetypal number, right? Just a number, right? Like, meaning Haraya, right? In Hesiod, you also have the four, right, medals,
right?
And the weird Age of Heroes that no one really quite knows what to do with. But in other Greek myths, you didn't have that. You just had the four, right? I mean, there was this notion that, like, the world is divided into four eras, however that's interpreted, right? That's how you talk about history. So it could just be sort of a symbolic way of talking about it without trying to figure out exactly what it is. But so anyways, he says to him, Dinochelma ufishrei neymar kadamalka. This is the dream and its interpretation, which I have said in front of the king.
So that seems like it's nebuah, though. That, like, how else would he know what the dream is?
So this is what Rav Meidan, was it Rav Meidan? Or maybe is it Rav Meidan, maybe in another shares listening on the way here today. Well, once you know the dream, right, it's, and you know that this is a trope, it's actually not so hard to interpret this as, like,
I mean, that's...
right? I mean, it's clear that God told him what the dream was. Whether that's nevuah, technically...
Oh, you're saying, like, it could just be a
little... I mean, Chazal don't think it's technically nevuah. They think that it's not nevuah, it's, like, strong divine inspiration. What the line is, I don't really know, right? This is why I don't get bogged down in these arguments, because I literally have no idea what I'm talking about at that point, like... I don't know what any of this means. By the way, now Rav Meidan notes that at a certain level, this nevuah should be understood not just in light of Paro's dreams, but in light of Yosef's dreams. Right? Meaning, right? Paro's dreams are about society. Yosef's dreams are actually about the future of his authority.
Yeah.
Right. So this is actually an interesting moment where we've sort of switched. Right? That the content of the dream is much more, right? Right, Daniel is clearly acting Yosef-like, but the type of dreams here are more Yosef-esque dreams rather than, right, Paro-esque dreams. Right, they're not about the politics of the society. Well, cool, you'll see, because it's going to be about Nebuchadnezzar losing his authority, meaning there are political implications, but there's also an element of Yosef here, right, about his personal fortune. But okay. But anyway, he says...
I'm going to be the mountain.
Yeah, well, no, we'll see. He says, Ant Malka, Melech Malchaya. Now, You have to realize, right, this, right? I've mentioned this before, that Hashem, who's Melech Malcheyam Lachim, the reason is, as I point out many times, front right clapper, is that because, especially starting this era, Nebuchadnezzar, Babel, and Assyria, right, kings were not kings, they were emperors. They were Melech Malchaya.
king of
right? kings. Right? Yeah, now he's not the king of king of kings. He's Ant Malka, you the king, are Melech Malchaya. Not, you are the king of king of kings. That's God. God is the king of kings. Which, again, in English is just the king of emperors, or the emperor of emperors. Right? But Ant Malka, Melech, what are you? What are you doing?
I have like a...
Ant Malka Melech Malchaya, Di Elah Shmaya Malchuta Chisna Vitakpa Vikira Yehevlach. And he says, you are the one that God has given you a very strong kingdom and much honor. Right? So this is where Rav Midan ties into Yirmiyahu. Right? The point of this dream was to tell Nebuchadnezzar, yes, you are legitimately the emperor of the world. But don't think that's because you are great. It's because God wanted you to be in this point. And that, coming back to the point we made last week, that the point of this Nebuchadnezzar is that there was a need in this global upheaval where there's this superpower to educate him and remind him that just because you're in superpower, just because we've entered the age of empires, right, doesn't mean that you are God. Right? It just means that God has made you king. That's all it means. Right? In order to do that, he had to do this, right? And the irony of the whole thing, that, right, it's the exiled Yehud, right? The Jew who comes and tells him, right, who's going to instruct him and inform him that there is Elokim b'shamayim, right? That even though no person on Yabeshta, no person on the firmament can tell you what this is, there is a power above you. So he says, Uvichol di dairin b'nei enosha, chevad brav of shmaya yehav biyadach. He said, all dwellers of the world, all people, animals, birds, God has given you. Again, this is why he ties in Yirmiyahu. He's telling him, this is what Yirmiyahu said. Right? Yes, you are king. Yes, you are emperor. But no, it's not because you're great. It's because I gave it to you. Right? Vahashiltach bichulhon. He has given you power over all of them. Ant hureshe didahava. Therefore, you are the golden head. Right? You are the golden head. Now, by the way, this will tie into, obviously, the next, right, one of the more famous stories in Daniel, which is the refusal to bow, of Hanan and Azariah to bow down to the Tzelem. Right? Where it's a machloket, whether that Tzelem was actual Avodah Zarah or simply a statue of Nebuchadnezzar, which they wanted, which was Ki'ilu Avodah Zarah, because they wanted people to worship him. Right? In this image, he literally is the Tzelem, which is sort of suggests that there is a blurring of the lines between those two points.
Right. But it could also be that it's his dream, so he's like putting his own spin on it.
That's also possible, right? It's also possible that God has a message, but it's interpreted, yeah. Which we know is true of Nebuchadnezzar in general. So he says, okay. Uvatrach tekum malchu achari ara minach umachut litoi acharai dinachasha didishlat b'chol ara. Said there will be more kingdoms after you, but they won't be as good as you. Right? Hence silver and bronze. Which again, in the Greek mythology, that's exactly what it means. Yeah. Right? The golden era is the era of Cronus. Right, people live forever. Right, Zeus has no choice but to kill his father, and now people are only in the golden era. Right, then the ones after that are only the bronze, and then you know he's like, oh, the fourth ones, there's iron, they're pasnished, right, pathetic, right, and then he just, you know, says, and eventually Zeus will destroy us too, right? Great,
yeah,
great.
Yes,
yes, that's what he says. That's what he says.
Cool. Who says?
Yeah.
What? Who?
Hesiod thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Zeus will
destroy. Yeah, the fourth. I'm not saying that. I don't believe Zeus will destroy us.
Confused.
Things may destroy us, but it's probably not Zeus. It could be the Israeli elections. Could be the American elections. Could be British elections. Could be anything. I don't know. Could be global warming. I don't know. But it's not going to be Zeus. Okay. And we're going to do it to ourselves, and we're well on our way. Okay.
What?
that if the world comes to an end is because we did it to ourselves. No, I think that's obvious at this point. Which one of those will cause the destruction? I don't know. But it'll
Rambam
be
holds that like Zeus.
Rambam thinks, yeah,
right.
Fine. Umalka Rivi'a says the fourth king, Teve Takifa Kefarzala. The fourth one, and this is by the way also true in Hesiod, which is that the fourth era are warriors. They're pathetic. They're low level, but they are really strong, right? The fourth era. That's how he views his own generation, right? That we're really good warriors, but we're horrible people. We're just a horrible generation. And that's basically what he says. The fourth one is going to be mere, right? Iron. But iron is both a cheap metal
and strong,
and a super strong right, metal, and he one of war, right? Extremely powerful.
Like Rome.
you see why they would say this about Rome, right? Because they can't deny that Rome has the greatest empire that was ever built until that point,
right?
But they don't want to say, oh, you're good. No, you're not good. You are the lowest of the low. You just happen to be powerful, right? You can understand why they're reading Rome into that. Kolkavel di farzla mehadik, the chashel kola ukefarzla di mira, a kol ilain tadik viteroa. Yes, it is.
It literally is. But
yes, I know. I feel like I'm reading Lord of the Rings. So, but you look on Wikipedia on the Four Ages of Man.
Yeah.
Right. They will say it'll have Hesiod and it'll have like Mesopotamian stuff, and it'll be like, and then it'll show you how that trope has followed up, and it'll be Lord of the Rings, the Four Ages of the World.
Nice.
Right. Like, if you've read the Silmarillion, then you'll know that.
Right.
You've read the Silmarillion?
I have read the Silmarillion.
That's very cool. Good. That's very cool.
I should give you my brother's number. He will spend a while talking with you about it.
Godless, Pasha, godless. Yeah.
How many people in the world have read that?
What?
He's already given it back.
Who's giving it back?
He's not even trying anymore. He gave it back.
Yeah, but we still have 21 days.
He gave it up 4 hours before last time they went down to the last minute.
We have 21 days.
They're voting tomorrow. No way.
Who's
so the world may end tomorrow, but it's not Zeus. It's not Zeus, okay? Right? You heard it here first. It's not Zeus. We're doing it to ourselves, okay?
Wait, good.
Nothing.
Gantz gave what to...
He's giving up and building it. Yeah. Anyways, fine.
End of the 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Translate him while I cough.
Okay. So he's going to be as strong as iron, but just as iron crushes and shatters everything... And like iron that smashes, how will it crush and smash all these?
Right, he's gonna be strong, but cheap. Right? V'dichazaita raglayav etzbata minehain chasaf difechar uminehevein parzel malchu pliga deve uminitzbita difarzela lahavebe kol kavel dichazaita parzela marab chasaftina. Oh, cool. Yeah, translate that one too. Okay.
You saw that. Okay, so the feet and the toes were part clay and part iron. That means it will be a divided kingdom. It will only have some of the stability of iron mixed with the, because you saw that it was mixed with clay. So
yeah. Okay. Right. This will be divided kingdom. Okay. Fine.
Okay.
Now this, by the way, this image is not in Hesiod, right? What that clay image. Now, what is going to crush it all is the rock, right? He says, "Etzbat raglay minahein parzel uminahein chasaf." Right, the toes, right, or literally the fingers of the feet, what we call toes in English, right? Min ktsat malchuta dehevi takifa umeidav etivir. Some will be strong, and some will be broken. V'di chazait. Chazaita parzel merav chzavtina mit arvin lahavein mizra nashav lulahavein dafkin dinaim dina hachedei farzel mit arevim chasba. He says, right, just like you see, right, that they're mixed. What does he say? They won't. How do you translate? They won't really be mixed.
So this says meaning uncertain.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But the way it translates it is, yes. Like, they shall intermingle with the offspring of men.
And they won't cling to each other, just like metal doesn't really cling to clay. Yeah, something like that. Wow. Some sort of division in the kingdom that will happen. Okay. Right, meaning Rashi says they will intermarry with each other, and it won't work out so well. Like, it just won't make for a homogenous, strong, something's going to go wrong, right, in this split kingdom.
Which kingdom is this?
We don't know.
The clay.
Rome and Islam.
Western world,
Greece, we don't know. No, Alexander, really, the second half of Greece.
Which that did happen at the end of Alexander.
Yes, correct. That's what Maidan thinks this is talking about, is the post-Alexander collapse of the government. That's what he thinks this is,
Who didn't mingle with whom?
Oh, no, just that they were very unstable.
That was very unstable, post is like... heyday of Alexander, right? Yeah, so that's how Maidan understands that, is that period, right? Is the post-Alexander Greek.
It's weird that, like, Chazal didn't say that.
Anyways.
If you look after, one kind of split half,
eventually. Eventually. Okay. Right. And he says, Uviyomehen Dimalchaya Inun, in that those days, Yikim Elashmaya Malchu Dil Almin, Lotitchabel, Umalchuta Lama Haran, Lotishtevek, Tadik Vitazev Kolilen, Malkivata, Bihi Tikun Almaya. In the middle of that, what will happen? Oh, the Lord. The Lord, right, who can never be destroyed, he will come and, whoosh, right, annihilate this, and he will stand forever. Now, for Ramadan, who does that mean? Chashmonaim.
Right.
That's the, right, this is referring to the rebellion, right, where God comes in out of nowhere, right, and
wins the day.
Right, and wins the day, yeah, exactly. Now, there was an interesting share I was listening to that argues, I'm not sure I'm convinced of it, but I'll throw it out there, that this image that God is represented by stone, because it's like of the earth or something like that. Specifically, it also noted that here it's translated as, one of the places it was translated as Tura, right? Where was it? Something or whatever. Evan is right. Rock imagery. I think it's somewhere true, but if not, rock is sometimes an image for God. Right? Had Sur Tamim Palo. God is a rock. Right? That there's this rock imagery. So this, I think it was Nama or Naomi Golan, I'm listening in the car today, argues that this is meant to, that these images are, I don't know if it's meant to invoke or it's similar to the Goliath David thing, where Goliath is described the same way, right? The emphasis on his metal head, right? His metal head in the middle, on his body in the middle, on his legs in the middle, right? And that David can't put on metal, right? He can't put metal, he has a rock. And that the polemical dialogue is he's being Machal Shem Shamayim, right? The rock will kill him because God is with me. I don't need metal, right? This notion that rock can crush, right? All this metal, and the rock represents God, and the metal represents the hubris of humans who think they're powerful, she thinks is borrowing from this David Goliath thing, where there's that same dynamic going on, right? Where David claims, no matter how powerful you think you are, your metal, your swords, right? It's similar to Tehillim, right? That they go with their horses and their chariots, right? And we go b'shem Hashem, right? All this notion, but she says that in Tanakh, often it's that rock versus metal. You know, it's like the theological rock, paper, scissors thing, right? And rock always wins, apparently. I guess, if rock was God, it always wins. And that will last forever. And that is the... Now again, the classic interpretation, this is Mashiach. Right, that after all this, right, God... No, they didn't, right? But God lasts forever, meaning, right... Right, and again, there. I mean, according to Rav Meinan, this is just a localized prophecy, right? That like it will throw it over, and God lasts forever, and therefore he can crush this kingdom. What happens afterwards? But you're right. The reason that the classic interpretations try to figure out is this Rome, is it Yishmael, and how does this the end of time? Is because it sounds like the rock is the end of time.
Right.
And they can't just say that it's still happening.
Well, yeah, that's what they say, right? That we're still in it. That's exactly it, because it hasn't happened yet. Well, that's the problem. The reason everyone struggled is because they were still going, right? There's a reason, by the way, that everybody in that used Daniel, not this part, but the later parts of Daniel, to try to figure out exactly when Mashiach was coming. And the problem was every time they would get to the date that the Mashiach was coming, like, oh, he's not here. Oh, I misunderstood it. Let's try that again. Right? They did this over and over. Barbanel himself did it like 5 times.
How do you get dates from this? That's crazy.
Oh, not from this. The end. Uh-huh. In the very, very weird end of the Prakim where it's like this many weeks and this many... There's all sorts of weird numbers going on.
Wasn't there a whole thing like 1999 or something?
There was everything. There was 14 that night did this and 15 that. It went on all the time. Trust me. The Barbanel was kicked out of 3 countries. You know, like... He kept coming up with dates to keep himself sane.
Next week.
Yeah,
that's really what happened. It's a depressing biography.
Isn't there a lot to do that?
Yes,
well.
And then the one of them does it.
That's what everyone does. Yes, everyone says it's Asur, but I have some suggestions.
Are you kidding?
I'm not saying conclusively. Okay, so he says.
But I think I got the Aramaic right this time. Don't worry, guys.
Okay, so he says. Okay, guys, come on, come on. Let's try to finish the parak. So he says. Kol kavel di chazay di mitura. Oh, here it is, mitura. Right, and this is where. It was, I think, Zakovich who claimed that this is, right, it uses not just Evan, but Tur, which is just the Aramaic for Tur, to indicate, yes, this is God, right? It's God that's behind this. Hatsur tamim palo, right? God's rockness, right? That kol kavel di chazay di mitura it gezeret Evan di lo v'yedayin v'adeket parzalim chaspa kaspa v'dahava ela rav odala malka madila v'acharan di navi atziv chelma mehem and pishrei. And he says, that which you saw, that the rock comes, right? What does it say? Dilovia de, not in anyone's hand. And it crushed the metal, right? All the metals. It's because God is telling you what's going to happen, right? Right? This godly rock is telling you that one day, right? This is all ephemeral, right? You may think you're the king of the world. You may think you're great, right? But at the end of the day, it's that flying, you know, magic rock, right? Which represents God. That is the true power because you're just his messenger, right? That, and again, I think it's undeniable that this is happening now because Nebuchadnezzar doesn't realize, right, that in the theology of Tanakh, he is just a messenger of God. He thinks he's God. So he says, "Ba'adayin malka Nebuchadnezzar nefalan po'el and Daniel segid, u'mincha v'nicholen amar l'nasachat le." And what happens? This is an amazing moment. It works. So what does Nebuchadnezzar do? Nefalan po'el. He falls on his face. He bows to him. Right? U'min Daniel segid. He bowed to Daniel. By the way, it's amazing. That little point here that it's easy to miss its significance, but I think it's very significant, which is
he bows to Daniel. And
to Daniel, not to Belshazzar, not his Aramaic name, right? He bows to Daniel, right? There is that moment that he's right. That is Daniel.
I totally missed that, yeah.
Right? Right? That he bows to Daniel.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking saying that it parallels where Daniel doesn't bow to.
Oh, for sure. Well, not Daniel. The other
or the other.
Ones, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correct. Right. So what did then he do? Right, they tried to make him a god. Right, now this is the irony of the whole thing. Right, they tried to make him god, like bring minchas to him. Right. Right? Like that's how convinced they are that he's like divine, which of course is not the point. So ane malka l'Daniel. Daniel said, the king said to Daniel, v'amar minkshot di Elohai chon hu Eloha Elohin umare malchin. It is true, your God is the God of gods and the master of kings. The Galei Razin, and he reveals secrets to Yechelet the Megle Razadina, as evidenced by the fact that you could reveal this secret, right? Adayin Malkal Daniel Rabbi. So what did he do? He made him great. He appointed him, right? Like Mordechai, like Yosef, right? All those people. Umatnan Ravervin Sagin Yehevlei, and he gave him a lot of gifts. The Hishlite Al Kol Medinat Bavel. He put him in charge of Bavel. Again, Yosef, Mordechai, right? It's hard to miss these, right? V'rav Signin al kol hakimei Bavel. And he put him, right, basically in charge of all the wise men of Bavel, right? Which if you wanted a statement of, yes, he's the emperor, but like he recognizes God, right? He puts the Jew in charge because he recognizes he represents God. In charge of all the other wise men, right? It works, right? And that's the amazing thing about Sefer Daniel is this is not the only time you're going to see this, where these horrible, immoral, terrible kings will actually recognize God, right? Will be forced to recognize God. Uvidaniel be'am in Malka umani ala vidta divinat bavel shadrach meshach v'aved negov. Daniel betra Malka, and he said, "I just want one more favor, which is."
Point my friend.
Yes, please. Please! I have three other people I want you to meet. Right? Their names are, right? Now, what are their names?
They're Aramaic names.
Yes, correct. They're Aramaic names. But Daniel is always the one who somehow manages to keep his identity going on here, because Daniel is really a superhero, right? V'Daniel Bitra Lamalka. What is that? Bitra Malka. What does that mean? Daniel is Bishar HaMelech, right? Which is obviously a reference to... Yes, Esther. Well, Esther. That's Bishar HaMelech. Bishar HaMelech. Right? Okay, so that is Perek Beis. And I'll just read one more pasuk, and you'll see why this is thematically connected. There's a reason the Perek Gimel starts with the story of Nebuchadnezzar Malka Aved Slaim Didahav Rumei Amin Shitin Patye Imin Sheit Vakime Bivika Dura Biminat Bavel. Then Nebuchadnezzar builds a freakishly tall statue, right? it doesn't last very long, right? He just had a dream about a tselem where he's going to be crushed, right? God is above him, right? By the next parak, he's building a tselem where he is that tower, right? He is that towering, right? Statue, right? Like, he totally missed the message.
Yeah, no.
Totally he got half the message.
He heard the first, like, 20 words. He's like, oh, I'm the gold head. Cool. And then he's
like, right? So that is one of the other themes of Daniel, is that they get it not for too long. It doesn't last, right? They keep having to come back to this. But there is a moment of recognition of truth, which is itself...
God can take you down with a rock. Well, if I build a statue, then he's just like, it's there.
Ha-ha! Good luck, Digga! Yeah, that, there is something like right, that. But that's the story that we get in the next parak, which is...
kind of weird, yeah.
This wonderful parak where we really get to meet Daniel's friends, and they aren't just Daniel's friends. They actually get an identity and, you know,
cool. Do
cool things and throw themselves into fiery pits and stuff like that.
Really well.
Sorry, does Daniel interpret the dream, or is he just...
Yeah, that's an interpretation.
That it's good.
Yeah, that's the interpretation.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, you are the golden head. You are the greatest, but you will be superseded.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not just like a flood, like telling him what the actual
dream is. No. It's that and the interpretation.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Good. That is Parak. That we finished Parak back with Daniel.